Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Empty backfield for Brady. Three receivers near side right, through the far side left. Hernandez is in the right slot. Snap to Brady, looking left, now firing left, open, caught, touchdown. Guess who? Tom Brady. Down the left sideline to Chad Upchocinco.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Hey there, everybody. Here we are. What's happening? Welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on a Thursday on Patriots.com. Live here from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Of course, always joining me on Thursday is the legendary B-Low, Brian Lowe, with the Fantasy Football Lowdown. First of all, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much.
I wish your name was Veronica.
Well, it isn't, but you can wish me happy Hanukkah anyway. I'm going to take out my harmonica at some point during the show.
You should. I heard the Adam Sandler song last night, which is a classic.
It's fantastic stuff.
It's great. And it just turns you on Sarah Silverman's new. Well, that's not new. That's you'd never heard
of
it before.
Yeah, I hadn't.
Hey, you know what?
She's pretty funny.
She's pretty funny.
And you know, we got to balance out some of the Christmas songs with the Hanukkah.
Well,
song.
Absolutely.
They need a better ratio.
They do need a better ratio.
They need a better ratio.
You know,
you know?
And dreidel doesn't really cut
right.
it.
Right. There's a few Hebrew songs that you probably won't turn on the radio around here and here.
Yeah.
But we need a few more.
Yeah.
We need a few more.
Maybe some Kwanzaa songs, too.
Sure. I'm not against that.
It's that time of season. And it is the season. Oh, by the way, Kev, you get a chance. Can you print out the games for me with the lines? Forgot to ask you that before. What a week this is going to be.
What a week.
This is basically, you're here next week, right? It's like, fantasy football doesn't stop this. Is it?
Well, you
most
know,
titles
it,
are this
say,
week, most championships
are
this week.
I would say probably 75% wrap up this week. I'm in one that ends next week, and I'm in the semifinals this week. So I'm hoping that next Thursday at 4 o'clock, I'm still alive. I'm really hoping. I think we'll definitely be here for the fantasy lowdown next week, get people prepared for that weekend ahead. But, you know, I think a lot of leagues, you figure week 17, there's too much nonsense going on with, you know, teams that, you know, don't have anything to play for, sit certain guys, and, you know, let's avoid that so as not to make a mockery of the fantasy league. I could go either way on it because I feel like, hey, that might add an element of strategy to your week. I mean,
sure.
You know, it could be that a player you've relied on all season, let's just say Aaron Rodgers, for example, let's say they have clinched the number one next week and Mike McCarthy decides, you know what? Rodgers is going to play three or four series. That's it, and then we're going to rest him. Well, that could really affect someone. So it adds some strategy. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, you know, you're really hurting a team. You're hurting yourself with players that you've relied on, maybe not playing. But
let me just real quick. We can just digress 1 second before we get to
the last. Listen, I'm all for the reality football.
Tell me about Denver. What was it like? And how interesting was it? And
you know, pregame
when they were getting killed at the end. I mean, that had to be fabulous.
Yeah, raucous pregame atmosphere, playoff like, no surprise. They clearly have taken to this Denver Bronco team. I mean, they come in with a 7-game win streak, 6-7, whatever it was, and obviously Tebow mania. You know, you see some shirts in storefronts around the city, Tebow this, Tebow that, Tebowing. It's all Tebow all the time, and it truly was a great atmosphere for football, and I happen to really like that stadium, and it was a gorgeous day, and a lot of build-up to the game, and I thought, you know, the fans were really into it. And, you know, Denver had the run of the place for the first quarter, obviously with their rushing yardage and all that. But I'll tell you what, I didn't get the sense that the fans or the media or the team, the Broncos team, was too distraught over what happened. I mean, they weren't happy that they lost, but I don't think faith was lost in what is going on in Denver right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they still, you know, no one's clinched anything in that division. It could, you know, all four teams are still alive. There's a lot to play for in that division. Denver would need to play better than they played against the Patriots to secure their spot in advance. But it was a great playoff-like atmosphere. But I really, you know, I don't think the fans were booing. I don't think there was a sense that I think what people thought about Tebow before this game is probably pretty similar to what they think now. I don't think you can watch that game and completely change your opinion of Tebow, good or bad.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know.
But they had to be stunned. I mean, I'm sure, and I know people on Facebook early on, I brought it up here, the first 9-10 minutes, everybody's going crazy. People forget there's four quarters in football, and you're just going to weather the storm a little bit sometimes in a hostile atmosphere, which I don't understand some of the fans around here, because they have weathered the storm. This Patriot franchise has weathered the storm many times on the road against a hell of a lot better competition than that in Denver. And despite all that, I say you get a throwout. They don't play well in Denver. They're 1-6. But look at look at that team that they played at this particular time this year. And to me, there was no way they were losing that game. And I'm not surprised at all by the score. I picked them to win by 17. They won by 18. Not surprised at all. I think it shows a lot, once again, about this team's character, that they can block it out, as they always have done for many times. And when they block it out and just go do their thing, they usually blow teams out. Yeah. And I can't wait to see how Denver responds this week in Buffalo. I'm telling you right now, I think they're going to lose in Buffalo. Yeah. I think you find out about teams' character when things are going badly, not when things are going great. We saw the Patriots already twice, at least three times this year, have responded well. After Buffalo, they go to Oakland, play well. We know what they did at back-to-back losses. They go into New York and crush the Jets. And then they're playing well on a steamroll, and everybody's up against them. The whole world's against them again. They go into Denver. They win by 3 touchdowns.
Right. So. Well, there's a reason they've lost back-to-back games only 3 times in the Brady era. Mm-hmm. That is a remarkable feat, and it brings you to mental toughness. But this game against Buffalo, I thought there were several elements that went into this being a game that the Patriots were going to win. Like you said, they were going to win this game.
You mean Denver?
Denver. Yeah. It was a chance to clinch the division title. And they knew that. I mean, they don't dwell on that, but they knew what was at stake going into this game.
It means more to them than they will let on.
Right. And you know what? I thought it was an extremely satisfied locker room after the game. I mean, it was for that half an hour that we're in there for the media. I mean, players were eager to put on their AFC East champion shirts and hats. They were excited about it. They weren't hiding from it. But I think they board that plane, they get back to Foxborough, and immediately it's as if they're 0-0 and playing a 0-0 team.
Yeah.
But that game in Denver, it's a place where historically Brady and the team have struggled. They were playing a division leader, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like they were playing a bottom-feeding team. So they were playing a team that's been good, competitive, and all that. And that whole 60-minute thing, Brady mentioned it right after the game. He said, you know, I thought we played our best, most complete 60-minute game. Now, run defense in the first quarter aside, there was obviously one of the more embarrassing.
Yeah. Only 86 yards on the ground after
exactly.
that.
Yeah. But the idea of, you know, offensively from beginning to end, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the defense with some turnovers in the second quarter, building them some momentum, making some stops. There were a lot of reasons why I think this was a game that, yeah, I really think, you know, just even historically over the course of the Belichick-Brady tenure, I think this is one that they looked at as one they were really satisfied about. They still have a lot to figure out here, and there's a lot to play for. They can clinch the number one. They can clinch the number one seed this weekend. They could also, I think, you know, drop. I mean, in a lot of different ways. And Houston playing tonight factors into this as well.
Never won in Indianapolis, by the way. Obviously, different circumstances with a different quarterback, but. Yeah. That could be. I have a feeling Indy's going to play them tough tonight. That's not a cakewalk. And I thought Houston would lose last week, and I thought Pittsburgh would lose, and I thought Baltimore would lose. All the teams I thought were lost, and they looked horrible doing it.
Well, you talk about, you know, Denver going to Buffalo. You get a sense of, you can see what a team is made of. Indy has absolutely nothing to play for at all. You can kind of see what some of their players are made of tonight.
Yeah.
You know, a short week. They're looking ahead to Christmas. There's so many things that, you know, the Manning stuff, all this stuff that could be distractions. They're playing a division opponent. If they get steamrolled, then you know what some of these players are capable of. If they take the momentum from the other day against Tennessee and they decide, hey, we got some pride on the line here. We're a talented team. You know, screw anything about Andrew Luck. We don't want to hear about that. We want to win games for ourselves and for the city. Then you see what they're made of, and I think they'll be competitive.
I'm wondering, from a fantasy football perspective and a reality perspective, you know, you take last Thursday night's game, the Pittsburgh-San Francisco game, and you have to just scratch your head and say to yourself, why is Pittsburgh that paranoid or that afraid? I hate to use that word for any NFL team, but are they afraid they had to win so badly to get one of the top two seeds because they don't want to have to play the Patriots again here, and they stick Ben Roethlisberger out there, who I think could have gotten seriously injured.
Yeah, well.
And now you hear mixed reports this week if he's going to play or not. First they say not going to play. Then he says he's going to play.
Yeah.
He should not be playing.
Right.
He should not be playing. If you had him last week as a fantasy guy, You had to be killing yourself.
Well, you know, you had to know that even if he played, he might be slowed. And do you start him? Do you not? I think, I mean, hey, the Steelers made a mistake playing him. Mm. They've clinched the division. They go absolutely nowhere without him. So you've got to sit him for these two games. I mean, hey, they should be able to beat St. Louis without him anyways. They should be able to beat Cleveland without him. So they could still, you know, maximize their seeding without him and have him fresh and healthy. You know, maybe they even get a bye and he has 3 weeks to sit. They made a mistake playing him the other night. They'd make an even bigger mistake if they played him this week. He obviously was not as effective as he could be. So I think from a fantasy standpoint, you better not start him. You better have someone else ready to go there, because I don't see Roethlisberger playing.
And I'm going to tell you, there's about a month ago we sat here and I thought, you know, if you're looking for fantasy points, I said this is probably going to be one of the worst low-scoring game weeks of the year. I think it was. There were a couple, one or two, that but for the most part it was. Now, this week, just the opposite. I think there are so many fantasy points in this week's games. It might be the best overall week of the year. Look at the matchups
Philly, Dallas.
That you have. I mean, even Philly, even tonight, into Houston, I think there's going to be points in that one.
Yeah.
I think Kansas City, Oakland, there might be some points. I think Denver, Buffalo, you know, I think there could be some there. Cincinnati, Arizona, there's going to be points in that one. Patriots, Miami, you know there's going to be points there.
Yep.
Giants and Jets, I think that's going to be, believe it or not, I think that's going to be a lot higher scoring than people think.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you on that.
Or both those bumbling quarterbacks could throw six interceptions apiece, and it could be 6-3. But I think it'll be a high-scoring game. Washington, Minnesota, I think that's got points written all over it. Carolina, Tampa Bay, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, St. Louis, I don't know how, you know.
Did you say Atlanta, New Orleans yet?
That's the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Detroit's hosting San Diego. I think there's points galore in that one.
Yep.
I think Seattle, San Francisco is going to be really interesting because, as we know, the 49ers having a lot of rushing touchdown this year. If you have Marshawn Lynch, he scored a touchdown in each of the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, something like that.
Will he get one?
You know, you ride the hot hand with him. You hope that if he doesn't score a touchdown, he at least gets the yardage to give you a good game. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, it all depends on who else your options are. It'd be hard to sit Marshawn Lynch even against San Fran, but I'll tell you, there is something about that streak for San Fran. 14 games now and counting. That's unbelievable. Unheard of.
Then Dallas and Philadelphia, there's going to be points there. That's got upset city written all over it, in my opinion. I think the Cowboys are in serious trouble. And Green Bay, Chicago. I mean, Chicago can't score, but Green Bay is probably pissed. They're going to score 40 in that one. And then Atlanta, New Orleans, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be 40-plus points there combined in that game.
Absolutely.
And they played, I think there was 23-20 last time those two teams played. So, I mean, I just think there's a lot of interesting games this week, and there's a lot of points out there. But this has got to be, for a fantasy football owner this week, you have probably got to make, you have to really do your homework this week, because
you sure do. You don't want to get to this point. Well, you don't want to get to this point and falter. I mean, hey, someone's going to win, someone's going to lose, but you don't want to, you know, you want to feel strong and feel good about the choices you make. And, you know, I'm debating. In the league that I'm alive in, I have Pierre Garçon on my roster, and he's, you know, I have Miles Austin.
See, I like Garçon. I would like Garçon tonight in this game.
But my choices are between Garçon. It's for a flex spot, too. Mm-hmm. So it's Garçon. Kevin Smith is among those that I'm thinking about. I've had a disappointing Mike Williams, who really, fortunately, he didn't kill me last week, but I started him last week, the Saturday game.
Yep.
I didn't do anything. So, yeah, I agree with you on Garçon. I think this could be, like you were saying, it could be kind of a shootout. Garcon's been pretty good. He might probably their most consistent guy this year offensively. So you just want to feel like the decisions you're making you won't regret. Now, that doesn't, you know, if you start a guy that has carried you to this point and this happens to be the week that he has a bad week, you got to just be able to live with it and chalk it up to, hey, players go, you know, it's hard for a player to go 16 weeks, bad luck. You just don't want it to be those choices where, you know, you take a gamble on someone and you miss out on a guy on your bench having a huge week that you've been carrying, that's been carrying your team. So it's tough. The decisions come a little more into the spotlight. There's no next week if you lose.
And the other thing I like about the schedule this week is, 90% of the games have an impact on the playoffs. There's no meaningless games. There really isn't. I'm trying to think of one that might be meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa, Carolina.
But Washington, Minnesota, those are the only two that I see that don't have anything to do with it. I mean, everybody else is either going to be affected dramatically by a win or a loss.
Well, and it's great that tonight's game has seeding implications, certainly in terms of Houston. It's great that the Monday night game is, you know, that's a great game. I mean, that's two teams that are going to the playoffs, but where are they going to be seeded, in terms of getting a bye and all that? So what a day Saturday should be. Saturday's shaping up to be just a fantastic day for football.
Before we get to the questions, quick injury report update for the Patriots. Spikes and Vollmer did not practice today. Now, Spikes practiced yesterday. It was limited, but did not practice today. Limited today were Arrington, Branch, Chung, Conley, Edelman, Fletcher, Fuller, Green, Ellis, Hideabel, McCourty, Slater, Vereen, Waters, and Welker. And Brandon Spikes and Chung. I'm trying to believe in my heart of hearts if they were in the playoffs this week that they'd be playing.
Yeah,
I don't know how effective they would be, but
Chung, he spoke in the locker room today, that's often a sign. That's usually a good sign. And the one thing that struck me was. Or one thing that stood out being in there chatting with him was when he was asked, you know, has he thought at all or did he ever think that this could be something that he'd have to shut it down for? He said, no, absolutely not. So that told me that, you know, does he play this week? I don't know. But is he going to be there in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Yes, I really do think so.
All right, email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. We'll get to all your fantasy football questions starting right now, first with Todd. Says, hey, guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whichever it is to you. I'm in the semifinals in my Money League Championship in my other two free leagues. I'm asking for help with my Money League. Of course you are. It's a one-point reception league. One, first questions go with this one. Pick one running back, Steven Jackson at Pitt or C.J. Spiller versus Denver.
You know, I love C.J. Spiller this week. I mean, he put up a big week last week against Miami, including in the passing game. He led the team in targets, led the team in receptions, had a touchdown. Steven Jackson, there's just nothing that's inspiring me about that St. Louis offense. I go Spiller, definitely.
I'm with you.
You know, and against Denver, I mean, we saw the Patriots put up a lot of points. You know, their defense has had its moments this year, but I think Spiller is their offense right now. He's gonna have a big game.
Second one, pick two wide receivers, Vincent Jackson at Detroit, Victor Cruz at the Jets, Julio Jones at New Orleans, Santana Moss versus Minnesota, or Demaryius Thomas at Buffalo.
Vincent Jackson, I know he's banged up, but I like that game. The San Diego, we've been talking about this each week, we're now seeing what happens every year in San Diego. They are just steamrolling teams. Mm-hmm. And, I think Vincent Jackson, this could be a big one for him. I'd probably go with him. Victor Cruz against the Jets is a tough one for me to figure. I might go Julio Jones. I might go Jackson Jones.
I totally agree with you.
And Jones has been overshadowed by Roddy White. White has had some unbelievable performances, but this is going to be a game. This game is going to be, both teams are going to be in the 30s. I see Julio Jones scoring. I wouldn't go with Demaryius Thomas. He was definitely the top target for Tim Tebow last week and has done pretty well. I mean, don't forget, he was a first round pick the same year as Tebow. The guy's got talent. I know he came into the league with an injury. He's coming into his own.
You said you would go.
I wouldn't.
Really?
For Demaryius Thomas?
You wouldn't go with him this week?
If I'm picking two out of these?
Yeah.
No. No, I mean, in Buffalo, I don't see Tebow having a good throwing performance this week. I really don't. I don't see him. I see him struggling this week.
It's a tough one because he's had, it's because it's Tebow and I'm just not a believer. And I think, I'm not sure how they're going to react traveling across the country the first time. And I was asking a reporter yesterday from the Palm Beach paper about, and he covered Tebow back in his Florida days. So I asked him, I said, has he ever played in the snow or in really cold weather? I mean, I know he's lived in Denver the last couple of years, so I mean,
that's a good question.
But he has not. I mean, has he played in cold weather before?
I don't. Yeah, that's a good question. You know? I haven't really looked at what he played in last year. The handful of games that he had.
Yeah,
that's a good question. That's a good question. What's the weather in Buffalo?
I can't be good. I mean, no. I would love to see him play. It certainly hasn't played in snow. I'd love to see him play like in weather last week with Miami played in, which
maybe they come here for the playoffs and the snow comes.
Oh, that would be just so beautiful. Third part of this question, pick one flex from the players already listed.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess now we consider Demaryius Thomas. Steven Jackson against Pittsburgh, I really don't like. I mean, I don't think he's I think he might get a 60-70 yard game. I don't think he scores. I think the whole team is going to struggle to score. To me, it would probably come down to Cruz or Thomas. Cruz has consistently been pretty good. I might go Cruz. You wonder about, who matches up with Revis or who does Revis match up with. So I might give the edge to Cruz over Thomas and over Jackson. I guess I shouldn't overlook Santana Moss. I'm kind of dismissing him among these groups, this group. I mean, you got some talented guys here. I'd probably go Cruz.
Again, where will Eli Manning's head be in that game?
Yes, that's a big question mark.
Yeah. Last part of this question. Pick one: DST, Houston at Indy, or San Fran at Seattle.
Well, you know, it's a tough one. Seattle's been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Seattle's offense has done pretty well. But you got to stick with the San Fran D. I go San Fran.
Yeah,
I think so. They just have not. I mean, I was thinking about it, but, you know, you're right. Indy's come on a little bit offensively. Yeah, you got to go San Fran.
Brian the Fox, New Mexico, says, thank you, Brian, for a terrific season. Horrible running backs to choose from since I finally gave up and cut Felix Jones the morning that the Marco Murray got hurt. So he's got LeGarrette Blount at Carolina, Khalil Bell at Green Bay, Jamie Harper, Titans rookie running back at Jacksonville. I've also got Todd Heap going for me at Cincinnati this week. You think he is a decent play, or do you have any deep sleepers you can suggest at tight end? Thanks again. I wish you a very happy holidays to both of you.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. Yeah. As far as those running backs, I mean, a tough break on Felix Jones. But at that time, I mean, you know, he hadn't been doing much at all. I mean, he really, he had been overshadowed completely by Murray. Don't harp too much on cutting Felix Jones at that time. It didn't turn out well for you, but at the time, you know, it wasn't a bad decision. But LeGarrette Blount has been disappointing the last couple of weeks, but I think you got to go with him. I mean, Khalil Bell, you know, for Chicago has been pretty good. I mean, clearly, you know, I mean, Barber, he didn't completely fall out of favor last week after what happened 2 weeks ago, but definitely his carries were cut. And, you know, Matt Forte's still out. Bell is doing all right. I think you still got to go with LeGarrette Blount there against Carolina, you know, a Carolina D that's fairly low rated. They give up a lot of yards. I wouldn't go with Jamie Harper either. So the Todd Heap, no, I don't think Todd Heap is a great play this week. You know, a guy that has intrigued me a couple times recently. There's been a few weeks that he's been a guy on my radar. Is actually Jacob Tammy of Indianapolis. Now that's tonight, so that's you know, putting you on the spot here if you want to go with him. But you know, I think it could be a game where Jacob Tammy has a little bit. But you know, there's so many good tight ends out there. If Todd Heap is the only guy you have, I don't know if there's a guy that.
How about,
you know,
Pettigrew maybe from Detroit?
Pettigrew. You know, I mean, certainly.
I mean, is he a sleeper? I mean, is he considered
a sleeper? I don't think he'd be. You know,
he doesn't get mentioned a lot by.
I think guys that could be available.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Jake Ballard, you know, you got to give him credit. He's had a lot of touchdowns, and if he's available, he might be one.
You have Aaron Hernandez. He's not a sleeper. He shouldn't be, but
hey,
but if you then he's one, obviously.
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm assuming here, Brian, that you're looking at the waiver wire. You probably can't make trades, and you probably have a guy ahead of Heap who's injured. So Ballard and Tammy would be two deep sleepers that I would say you could take a look at.
Let's see what else we got here before we get to Poker Mike. What's from Lyndon in Colton, California? What lineup do you like the next 2 weeks? No mixing or matching. Lineup one, Matt Stafford, San Diego, Green Bay. Demaryius Thomas at Buffalo, KC. Calvin Johnson, San Diego at Green Bay. Or lineup number two, Drew Brees, Atlanta, Carolina. Donald Driver, Bears, Detroit. Calvin Johnson, San Diego at Green Bay. For the playoffs, I'm playing a game called ESPN Gridiron Playoff Challenge. It's like fantasy football with a twist. If you guys are interested in playing, I could send the link to Kevin via Facebook. It would be fun to have a Patriots radio group.
Okay, so that's why there's a pick one group or pick the other group.
Yeah.
You know, I would have to go with lineup two, the Breeze, Driver, and Calvin Johnson. I just think the difference between Breeze and Stafford is significant enough. And, you know, Breeze against Atlanta and Carolina, if those are games, and we know against Atlanta, they still have a lot to play for, and I'm sure in Carolina will too, Drew Brees has been the best quarterback in football the second half of this season. I mean, Rodgers is the MVP, and he's having the best season, but Drew Brees is having
Brady,
the best.
They're almost neck and neck. They're almost identical in everything.
But Brees is absolutely
fire. He's ahead of Brady in the fact that he's 72% to Brady's 68%.
Something like that,
But, I mean, it really is.
So really, you know, Calvin Johnson is in both. So it really comes down to, do you want Stafford or Demaryius Thomas or Brees and Driver? I think it's a no-brainer.
No,
Brees and Driver.
Totally.
And Driver, don't forget, Greg Jennings is probably going to be out the rest of the regular season.
Yep.
That gives more opportunities for Driver. I go lineup two, Lyndon. It's an interesting way to do it here in these final couple weeks, but I'd go lineup two.
Keyshore says, hi, I have a question regarding my fantasy team, which clinched playoffs so far. Here are my starters: Brady, Tom Brady, Marcus Colson, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, Michael Bush, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Nugent, Steelers defense. Can you help me choose two receivers from the below? I play in a three-receiver league. Deion Branch, James Jones, David Nelson, and can you please advise which waiver wire receivers are good for this week?
Okay, well, two from Branch, Jones, or Nelson. Mm. Branch, boy, I could give you reasons why you shouldn't go on any of those three. But I think, Branch, if he plays, I like him. You never go into a game with the Patriots thinking Branch is going to lead the team in receiving and get two touchdowns. But, I'd like him if he plays. I think he's going to play. I think it was just one game last week. James Jones, you got to feel pretty good about for the same reasons as Driver. Just could be more opportunities. And like you were saying earlier, Aaron Rodgers, these guys are probably going to be angry, ready to want to get back on the winning track. So I guess I'd go Branch and Jones, both over Nelson. Not really high on Nelson with Buffalo and that whole passing attack. Not much there from my point of view. So I would go with Branch and Jones. A waiver wire wide receiver, potentially Titus Young. You were saying you think that San Diego-Detroit game will be very high scoring.
I think it will be.
I agree. And I think Titus Young is the guy that gets some of the looks when Calvin Johnson. Hey, listen, Stafford throws to Calvin Johnson, whether he's got one guy, two guys, three guys, four guys on him. But I think in certain situations, I think Titus Young is an interesting guy to think about. And, if it was any other week and they weren't playing San Fran, there's a couple of those Seattle wide receivers that are starting to get on the radar screen. Baldwin, Golden Tate. Golden Tate, he's a very talented guy.
Playing very well lately.
Yeah, and against San Fran, might not be a great matchup for Seattle's D, but I think Golden Tate, depending on how deep your league is and how deep you're looking on the waiver wire, I think Golden Tate's an interesting name to think about.
Lucas on my Facebook page says, Yo, Pete, and Hall of Famer fantasy player, B-Low, this is for you. Your fantasy advice this season, they have actually been productive.
Oh, actually productive, huh?
Of course they. What do you expect? Wow. Come on. This week is the last game of my league, and I'm in the final! Exclamation point. I really need you to advise me on the running back spot. I have five.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It says I have Steven Jackson, Law Firm, McGahee, Helu. Then my second starting receiver next to Welker, Harvin, T. Smith, or Austin. Then it says Pat Clobber Finch, 38-10. Rex and Mark are going down. The Jets suck. Merry Christmas. I hope Santa says a word to my bad boy, Eric Scalavino, and tells this guy to actually pick the Patriots once before the season ends.
Wow. So, a mouthful there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the running backs, I assume he needs two. Steven Jackson, Green Ellis, McGahee, and Helu. Well, McGahee is banged up a little bit. Going against Buffalo, I think it's a huge game for McGahee if he's at 100%. If he's at 75%, I still think it's a pretty good play. He had been doing really well. Got hurt early against the Patriots. Missed quite a bit of time in that game. Of course, the Broncos' running attack didn't really miss a beat. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I'll tell you, he really has been losing carries. Still scores here and there.
Yeah.
I still think he scores. Helu's been banged up. He's been banged up. I've talked about Steven Jackson today. I don't like him. I think I'm going to go Green Ellis and McGahee. But you got to monitor the McGahee situation. Mm-hmm. If it turns out, if he doesn't travel to Buffalo, then he's not playing.
Yep.
So there you go. But I'd probably go Green Ellis, McGahee, Jackson, and then Helu, and only because Helu seems kind of iffy.
Yep, I'm with you.
Now, as far as the wide receiver, I assume it's one between Harvin, Torrey Smith, and Miles Austin.
Yeah.
Very significant situation that came up today is Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Missing the rest of the regular season.
I would not play, obviously. He's not, He's not. You're not playing him.
To who?
Boldin.
Oh, Boldin's out.
Yeah,
Boldin's out.
Yeah.
So Boldin's out. Came out of nowhere a little bit, but that means Torrey Smith is their number one guy. It's Baltimore. They're going against Cleveland. Flacco did not play well. I mean, he didn't have any picks, but no interceptions.
So they're home this week, though.
They're home this week.
I wish if they were in Cleveland, this could have been totally different.
They're home this week.
But
the question is, do you go Torrey Smith over Harvin or Miles Austin?
Statistically, a pretty good pass defense for Cleveland. Net yards wise.
I don't think you go Smith over Harvin or Austin. I think it comes down to Harvin or Miles Austin, and I think I'm going to go Austin. Mm-hmm. I think Miles Austin is the choice. Harvin has been really good. Harvin's been really good, and Minnesota, it's at Washington, but I'd go Austin if you're looking for one guy. So ranking those three,
absolutely.
I'd go Austin, Harvin, Smith. So assuming you just need one to pair with Welker, to me it's Austin.
I totally agree with you. Again, email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Actually, just hang on. I just got hang on. I had here was one. Noel in Denver. I have Wes Welker, Jordy Nelson, Lance Moore, and Santana Moss. Should I play Santana Moss in place of one of the other three? Wonderful finish in Denver. Thank you, Pats. Shutting up the media a little bit. Love the SNL skit and love the Patriots to go all the way. Don't see any other playoff team getting 30 points in the playoffs. Denver might not win another game this year. Love your show. Merry Christmas. Noel in Denver.
Yeah, well, Denver, it's amazing. Yeah. The Buffalo game and then Kansas City.
Well, I told you.
Hosting Denver.
Kyle Orton hosting in Denver. Kyle Orton. And remember, if all those teams finish 8-8, Kansas City gets a tiebreaker, they win the division.
Amazing.
Which very well could happen.
Absolutely. I think
it absolutely
goes
could happen.
Yeah, well, Noel, Welker, Nelson, Moore, and Santana Moss, no, you don't play Moss in place of the other three. Welker, goes without saying, you're not going to sit Wes Welker. I think Lance Moore is going to have a huge game. He had two touchdowns against Atlanta last year at home, New Orleans at home against Atlanta. I think he has another two this week. And then Jordy Nelson, hey, we just talked about Donald Driver. We talked about James Jones. You don't sit Jordy Nelson for Santana Moss. So, Noel, those are four pretty good receivers. If you're starting three, you got the right three. Keep Santana Moss on the bench.
Absolutely. Let's see. I know Poker Mike's waiting, but I want to get to these emails. And we got a couple more, Mike, before we get to. So hang in there, buddy. I know you got a lot to say. Daniel says, this is my first year playing fantasy football, and I'm in the Super Bowl and playing a very tough team. I credit my strategy of picking a new defense each week and picking up the most trending player and hoarding them from my opponents. I've cut and re-signed my players more than the Patriots have for Ross Ventrone. Also, the big props to the Lowdown. Many thanks to you guys for your advice.
Well, we're happy to help.
On to the questions, and there are many. One, for my third running back, which of these four should I stack? Felix Jones, hurt, may have fewer touches. Haloo, hurt, may have a reduction in touches. D'Angelo Williams or Sammy Morris? Let's begin there.
Well, you know, I mean, Sammy Morris is not an option unless Felix Jones is ruled out.
Exactly.
And if Felix Jones is ruled out, believe it or not, Sammy Morris is a decent play. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. He got out of nowhere. He was at home.
Yeah.
And now this is his second week. But, and I, you know, if Jones plays, it's hard to sit him. If he's healthy enough, it's hard to sit him because I don't think they're going to play him if he's not their lead back, if he's not able to carry a significant part of the load. I don't like Haloo this week. I think that could be a matchup. I think he could sit.
I like D'Angelo Williams a lot.
I think D'Angelo Williams, of these four, is the one that inspires the most amount of confidence in me, and he has not had a great year. Been very tough to rely on him. But of those four, he might be the one. So, you know, Jones and Morris, it's a tough call there, and when do they? I'm just the times of these games.
I got it right here.
So it's 4:00. Dallas game. The Washington game is at 1:00, and D'Angelo Williams with Carolina plays at 1:00.
There's only three 4:00 games, right. Which so, is Detroit, Detroit hosting San Diego, San Fran at Seattle, and then Dallas hosting Philly.
So the problem is, at 1:00, you're not going to know the status of Jones and Morris most likely, so you can't hold off right there. I think you go D'Angelo Williams at 1:00. Cross your fingers, and you know you might not be too comfortable with that right there, but I think you got to go with Williams.
Wide receiver, I need to pick one of these three guys: Jeremy Maclin, Antonio Brown, AJ Green.
Well, it's Maclin right now.
Absolutely.
I don't like Brown.
Absolutely, Maclin.
I don't like Brown without Roethlisberger. AJ Green's banged up. I think it's definitely Maclin. I think Macklin's back to being closer to full strength. They play Dallas. That's going to be a shootout.
Yep,
go Dallas. Go, Maclin.
Yeah, I know. Defense, what should I play in my Super Bowl this week? Steelers versus Rams. Parentheses, nervous about Steelers. Offense not staying on the field long or throwing interceptions. Bengals versus Cardinals. Seahawks versus San Fran. Chiefs versus the Raiders.
Well, I think it's probably got to be the Steelers. The Rams are terrible.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to end up starting a quarterback this week, but, you know, Bengals against the Cardinals,
I don't like
that because
Charlie Batch and see Charlie Batch playing. See the Rams, maybe the Rams hang around and get decent field. Maybe there's not a lot of points in that game.
Well, but I mean, certainly if Roethlisberger was playing, it's a slam dunk, but I'm just looking at the options here. the Seahawks against San Fran, that would worry me. I don't think San Fran's offense is a juggernaut by any means, mm-hmm. but I think they're playing pretty well. Chiefs against the Raiders, that game it's in Kansas City.
The Raiders usually play well there, but
yeah, the Raiders play well. Yeah,
I like how Kansas City's playing now. I'm definitely going to pick Kansas City when I make my picks today. I can promise you that. But that's a tough call. Carson Palmer shows up?
Right, and Bengals against the Cardinals. I don't know. John Skelton's been doing pretty well. That passing game's getting into a bit of a groove.
And he starts again this week, right?
Yeah. I think you got to go Steelers. Mm-hmm. I think you really have to go Steelers.
I think so.
I mean, Charlie Batch is starting for them, but who's starting for St. Louis?
Exactly.
You know?
I just clicked off of it by accident. Was there more to that? Oh, hang on a second. And then the oh, no, that's it. Okay. So let's move on. One more before we get to the phones. Thanks, guys. Playing for the championship, Nolan Denver. Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. All right, let's head to the AT&T, the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, webradio at patriots.com is how you get a hold of us. And it's Buddy Poker Mike. Hey, Michael.
Fellas, what's happening?
What's up, Mike?
Pete, you don't have to apologize. Life is good, man. This is a good time of year. I can sit and listen to you guys all day.
Well, you're still up. You're still in the hunt for
heading to the championship, baby.
You are. Good for you.
Thank God. One out of the two. I had to get there in one of them. And I'll tell you, I had a Cinderella squad. I'm not sure if you recall my team, B-Lo, but I shouldn't be here. But I guess
you willed your team.
Anything can happen.
You willed your team to win.
They. I think I really had. I was me. They just the
you inspire the your you know the leadership
the
skills. Yeah.
So what I mean, you know, who for you in this particular league? I mean, it's any of these games considered as far as who getting into the psyche of other teams and who they might start or who they might sit if they don't necessarily need to play. Is that situation relevant for anybody on your team?
Not really, to be honest with you. And, I mean, it's been a discussion, and I have to tell you, you guys talked about the slate of games coming up this week. Like,
lots of points.
This is an awesome, awesome week. I feel like in past weeks we've kind of had the ones that have stuck out and been like, oh, well, that's a crappy game. But there's some banging games this week, so – it's good and bad from a fantasy perspective because I have some juicy matchups, but so does my opponent. But I just think this season here has just been so awesome, and to come down to the final 2 weeks to have so many teams playing for something still. I mean, just and especially with the matchups, it's mm-hmm. just awesome. But my team is upside down. This has been upside down. I'm just happy to be here, and B-Lo, I just have to ask you quickly before I get into my guys. So you're heading to the matchups, into the finals in your league this week or next week?
It's actually the semifinals this week, so I still have a little bit of a road to climb, but I'm in the semifinals this week. I've got Arian Foster going in 3.5 hours. I've got to make a final call on if I want Pierre Garçon playing in 3.5 hours. Either, you know, I mean, Foster, you know, listen – obviously, I'm playing Foster. If Foster has a subpar game, I'll obviously be wildly distraught.
If both suck, are you in serious trouble?
I do have Drew Brees, and he has
carried me. He can bail you out.
And actually, my opponent has both Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a tough call. So I'm waiting to see what happens there. But you know, if Foster does not have a great game, I'll obviously be disappointed, but I won't be regretting a decision because there's no decision to be made. It's Arian mm-hmm. Foster against Indy. I think mm-hmm. I'm obviously starting him.
Yep.
Pierre Garçon, and I was saying this earlier, it's a flex spot. I've got Kevin Smith, who I'm considering, but I have another layer of decision-making there because one of my two running backs is Beanie Wells, who's also banged up, so I may need to I might need to consider Kevin Smith in the running back. I've got a multi-layered decision that really – tonight, you know, what I do in the next 3 hours really has a linkage to all the other decisions. So I think I'm leaning toward playing Pierre Garçon, and then that way I have a little bit of I might have some flexibility with what I do with Kevin Smith. I got a couple guys on my bench, but that's where I'm at. So Arian Foster, I'm obviously hoping that, as has been the case in many weeks during this run I've had, Drew Brees and Arian Foster really lead me, and then I've got Baltimore defense as my other big component. So hoping for the best.
Yeah, what's the situation? So Houston clinched the division.
Houston has clinched the division.
So 2 weeks to go. Where are they sitting as far as playing?
Well, all 1 through 4, nothing is decided between 1 through 4. Now, I think Houston needs to win both and get help to get a bye, whereas opposed to the Patriots, yeah, who, you know, control their own destiny. I don't know if Houston loses tonight. I don't know that they have been eliminated from contention for a bye, but they'd be on the outside looking in. They have a lot to play for. I mean, mm-hmm, they have a lot to play for. This,
yep,
is, you know, yeah, they've won. Yeah, they've won the division for the first time. They're going to the playoffs for the first time. But if they're sitting there content, then that's a big problem. The only question is, you know, the talent level that they have with all their injuries. You know, even though they're playing, mm-hmm, Indy, you know, it could be a competitive game. It really could.
Yep.
Right. So, right. Well, I mean, yeah, this is it. You guys, you had a couple questions, some emails about, like, you know, waiver wire pickups and so,
yeah,
forth. I hate to say it, but I have the same kind of questions here.
Yeah.
Basically, and you mentioned Kevin Smith. I have him in my lineup, so there's really nothing I can do about that. I went with Tebow last week. Mm-hmm. Exactly what I needed to happen happened. The pass, you know, wound up beating them in the end, and he still had a productive day. So I actually had Demaryius Thomas as my flex. I talked about him last week. You were a little iffy with him this week. You don't really know what they're going to bring to the table in Buffalo.
Yeah.
If it was an interview with Tebow where they talked about how he feels about playing in the cold, and he
what did he say?
How he felt about playing in the cold.
Yeah.
And
because that was my question to Aponte. First of all, I'm shocked they had two things. One, I'm shocked they had an interview with Tebow. Anybody, because that usually doesn't happen.
And two, I
interviewed a guy yesterday from the Palm Beach newspaper, and we were talking about exactly that. And even though he's lived in Denver the last couple of years, I don't think he's ever played in cold weather, ever.
I don't think so. I agree with you. This could be – I can't let it – I mean, it won me my league. The question last week to you guys was, do I start Tebow or do I go ahead and stick with Flacco? And I went with Tebow, and it wound up winning me my – I won my game,
sure,
by 6 points. It was a huge difference.
Well, Flacco on the road is very different than Flacco at home, too.
Right. No, and, yeah, well, it's again, it's frustrating. I mean, on Tebow's lines, he threw like 194 yards, no passing touchdowns. He ran for 2.
Yep.
He got me 27 points in my league.
Oh, yeah.
What does he do this week? It's obviously going to be – the conditions aren't going to be, you know, quite to his liking.
Right.
I think it's going to make a huge difference, though.
I think far less – I mean, what was his passing yardage last week? Was in the
194.
190,
right?
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to throw the ball 22 times. I think he's going to have another one with, you know, somewhere in the 100 to 120 yardage range. But, again, like a lot of these other games – I don't think he throws a touchdown pass, but I also don't think he throws an interception. You're banking on the rushing yardage. And I think he's going to get the rushing yardage because I think as a team, they're going to run the ball 3 times as much as they pass it, and he's going to be in the mix.
Yep.
You know, so if it's Flacco or Tebow again this week, I don't know. Flacco
home against a bad Cleveland team.
Yeah.
But no Bolden.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question. I think Tebow, it's especially what he did last week. I have nothing to really lose. I mean, I'm just happy to be here with this squad. But mm-hmm, that's not even the biggest issue. I have Bolden. Not that really he's been much for me.
Well, that's
he just. I'll tell you, if I pull this championship out, I don't even know what to do. But Bolden, you're upset about that situation. Obviously, owners out there. But what has he really done for you? He's been so frustrating, especially with just Torrey Smith emerging. I'm not even. Unfortunately, I don't really have much to turn to, so we talked about some waiver wire pickups, and Beal, I'll throw you who's available.
Yeah.
I could actually pick up Nate Washington, who I like this week. He's been a little bit banged up, but they are...
Yeah, but you know what? He's been banged up the last 2 weeks, and he's had productive weeks.
He really has, so that's a guy right there. I actually have Damian Williams on my bench, but I think Washington, if I do go with one of those guys, I think that might not be a bad play at home this week. Against a really, really banged up Jacksonville secondary.
That's right.
It's Tennessee's home
against
Jacksonville. Yeah.
I thought they were. You know what? You said Washington. I'm looking at my schedule. I see
Washington, Minnesota.
I see Minnesota at Washington. I'm like, oh yeah, Washington playing Minnesota.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Nate Washington. Yeah, against.
Sorry.
No. That's completely my fault. But I think Nate Washington. What's been interesting about him is that injury situation hasn't bothered him. Quarterback situation hasn't bothered him. He's had success with Hasselbeck. Has had quite a bit of success with Jake Locker. So
right.
There's some there's some lack of consistency there, or I really don't know which direction they're going to go. But I think Washington is a very good – if he's on your waiver wire, and especially if you had planned on having Bolden in your lineup, and I know, you know, he hasn't been his big games have been few and far between, but if you were still going to stick with him and now you can't, I think Nate Washington's definitely a guy to consider.
I mean, it's literally, I don't have a choice but to turn to a few of these guys because you just mentioned Antonio Brown. I'm with you. I don't really love this situation.
Not at all.
I'm probably not going to sit him just because Bolden's obviously out.
Well, it all depends on who else you have. I mean, it's easy for me to say sit Antonio Brown, but it depends on who else
right,
you or anyone else
let's
has.
Just roll with, let's just go with this. I'm the emailer, all right? So Antonio Brown is in. I've been sticking with Laurent Robinson, but, again, thankfully he scored last week because that made the difference, but
right.
He just didn't have the targets that he has been.
Yep.
I may have to look up another place for him. An interesting guy, and I know a lot of people have this kind of same question for him this week, is what do you do with Santonio Holmes? He's on my bench, and I could put him in what could be a pretty high-scoring game against the Giants.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do. What do you think about Holmes?
Well, I don't think much about Holmes, but I do think you might have to start him. Now, Brown, Robinson, Holmes, how many do you need to start of
three
those
of them.
Three? Oh, so those are your three.
Well, yeah, I have Demaryius Thomas, but he's going to be my flex.
Okay, so you're starting him. Yeah, I and are there other guys to consider? It's just Nate Washington off waivers?
Washington, or I could act. I picked up Malcolm Floyd, but then dropped him when he kind of hurt me 2 weeks
yeah.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he's available.
Well,
and that's
okay.
Another guy who could potentially have a pretty big week.
Yeah, I'm not very high on Laurent Robinson this week either. And I know, I remember we've talked about him with you each week since you picked him up, and it's
yep.
been a great pickup for you. But, you know, Austin, you know, he's back. I think Robinson is really their third guy. And you hit it last week, or just what you just said about Robinson last week. It wasn't a big game for him, but he had that touchdown,
mm-hmm.
which kind of validates it. I'm not so sure about it this week. I might say that Nate Washington is a.
Yep.
I might think about Nate Washington ahead of Laurent Robinson.
Right.
You know, that's it's a tough call there. But I think you got to go Holmes. You know, Brown. I mean, the thing about Brown is. The game 2 weeks ago against Cleveland when Roethlisberger got hurt, they still had that long touchdown mm-hmm. connection. Kind of a fluky play.
It
bad
was
defense.
A fluke, yeah.
You know, bad defense. But, you know, I just don't think if Charlie Batch starts that Brown can do much.
Man,
basically, what you're telling me, B-Lo, is that I have to, for the championship game, I need to go to the waiver wire and pick up like three or four guys.
Well, I don't know about that, man. I think Nate Washington, though, shouldn't be a waiver wire guy, though.
Right. And
He's
You're
a
right.
waiver wire guy technically in your league, but I don't think he should be. I think he's a top, 25 to 30 wide receiver as of right now, and he shouldn't be on your waiver wire. So, you know, can you pick him up and just not make the decision yet? Wait out a couple of these, wait it out a little bit, pick him up, be protected right there, and then, you know, kind of see. I think Robinson also has, he's been banged up too. He's got an injury.
Yep.
So, you know, I say pick up Washington and strongly consider him over Robinson.
Yep. No,
yeah, that's what I'd say.
So it's looking like a Tebow. I'm gonna. I just feel like Antonio Brown just can't come out of that lineup. I mean, that's a pretty good matchup there with St. Louis. So we're looking at Tebow, Antonio
yeah.
Brown, probably Nate Washington, Santonio Holmes, I suppose, maybe somebody else I have to pick up.
Yeah,
and you talked about Kevin Smith. I think. That's another game with points.
Yeah,
that's
no, I do like Kevin Smith. I will say this. I mean, the guys you're considering here, Mike, it's not like you're talking about all low-rated players. I mean,
right.
You are still talking about players who have been productive
yep.
for various reasons. They're lower ranked yep. this week than in a lot of other weeks, but it's not like you've got guys that are devoid of talent and have no chance of production. You've got some decent choices.
Yep.
So I think, it's going to be one of those where you're just going to be crossing your fingers once you make the choice.
No, I'm very relaxed with all of this, gentlemen.
Good.
This is a good time of the year. So either way you shake it, good
it's
luck
fun.
This week.
All right, righty, my
Merry
friend.
Merry Christmas.
Hey,
Merry Christmas
happy holidays.
To you.
Good luck. Really good luck. We'll talk.
Are we closing it out next week?
We're back next week. Yeah.
All right. I'll have some draft tips, maybe.
Great.
Fantastic.
Okay.
We'll take them home.
All right, Mikey.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
Talk to you next week.
All righty. We got another caller in on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well at 508-298-0398. It's Robert in Indiana. Thanks for waiting. You're on with B-Lo and Pete Shepard. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Say, on your fantasy team, you had New England defense and Miami defense. Which defense would you start this week?
New England D or Miami D? Wow. It's interesting because Miami's defense isn't great, but like the Patriots, they've been much better in terms of points allowed than yards allowed. But you'd have to go the New England defense you're talking about if those are your two choices, because they get turnovers.
Again, I mean, and Miami defense under Nolan has improved dramatically the last five.
But you can't go to Miami defense.
But again, like I said last week in Denver, it looks better on paper. Go look at the offenses they faced.
You cannot, right.
Redskins, Oakland, I mean, right. bad quarterbacks, bad offenses, and it's going to look better on paper.
Right. But
they came into a situation, remember, last year, very similar. Patriots had nothing really to play for, but Miami was, and then Patriots blew them off by 31.
Right. You cannot take a defense. You can't even take an elite defense against the Patriots offense right now, let alone Miami's. You've got to go Patriots D.
Do you guys really think that New England defense is really that bad as people say?
No. If you listen to me all year, no. I mean,
it's not 32nd in the NFL bad. It's not that bad because
they're a middle of the road defense. They're 14th in points allowed. They're tied with the Packers for points allowed. I put much more stock in points allowed than I do net yards. To me, and defenses in the National Football League means literally nothing. I don't care about net yards in football. It's the most overrated and overused stat in all of professional sports.
Exactly.
The other two, the two categories that are so much more important are, as Pete said, points allowed and turnovers.
Turnovers.
The Patriots get turnovers, and I guarantee you that they will get two turnovers at least on Saturday.
At least.
So
now,
go New England.
Now, the last couple of years, we lose in the divisional round of playoffs after bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of coaching? Or is it Bill Belichick? Is he improvising it, and the player just not listening to him? Is he losing?
It's the bye week has nothing to do with anything. Go back to the Baltimore game 2 years ago. The week before, 2 weeks earlier, they had lost Welker. And unfortunately, I think it deflated them dramatically to lose one of their best offensive options. However, remember the Baltimore game. The opening kickoff by Rice was returned for a touchdown, 88 yards. And then I think the Patriots turned the ball. It was 14-0 Baltimore before you could even blink. I think it was 24-0 before you could even you even came up.
Brady threw an interception, got strip sacked, sacked a few times. It was a no contest.
It was
10 minutes
almost like the New Orleans Saints game. When we played New Orleans,
that was horrible. Yeah, I had a feeling that particular night against that team that was coming. I had picked New Orleans, I remember, on the radio that day, because I just didn't like that particular game at that situation. But the Jet game last year, I mean, please, they shot themselves in the foot. They have no one else to blame but themselves. They had it. When Brady threw that intercept, that screen pass to Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, which, by the way, they haven't even attempted to him since. They had the Jets right where they wanted them. The Jets had the interception. The Jets marched all the way down the field. They missed a chip shot field goal.
Yep.
The Patriots take the ball, march it back down the field, right down their throat. Crumpler drops a touchdown pass, and that was brutal, absolutely brutal when that happened. The Patriots score there at that time. The Jets psyche, you have to figure, they just did everything right. They picked off Brady for the first time in like 350 passes. They marched down the field, and the Patriots miss a chip shot field goal. The Patriots get the ball back, march it down their throats, and then Crumpler drops a touchdown pass. I just think if we talk about the butterfly effect, if he catches that ball, I think the psyche of the Jets is completely damaged, but they didn't. The Jets made adjustments. The Jets played better in that game. They deserved to win, but that was last year. Again, that was last year, and the Patriots didn't win in New York last year by 21 points either. You know, they beat them by 42 here, but they lost to them in New Jersey. I mean, every year is different. You can't go by what happened in the previous 2 years. I've said it time and time again. The San Francisco 49ers lost three playoff games in a row also and went on to win three additional Super Bowls. So it happens.
Now Bill Belichick is usually the guys to go. He's usually the guy to draft. To give away draft picks to get later in the draft. I think it's time for us to start moving up some and getting some of these good defensive players out there and start getting some playmakers on this defense.
Okay, but again, look at overall, and I'm not saying you're not accurate, but again, look at what some of those draft picks have got the Patriots, have brought to this team. Guys like Solder, guys like Hernandez. I mean, others. If you really got to look deep, because a lot of the national media, local media, like to throw that line out there, and I just think they forget. Look, I told you, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. If you remember the old movie, The Longest Yard, with Burt Reynolds, I mean, this team, their biggest asset is number 12.
Right.
They are going to do everything they can. Their number one job is to protect your quarterback. If that means you got an offensive lineman opposed to defensive lineman, you know what? Get the offensive lineman. Especially this day and age and the way the National Football League is. It's a passing league. You don't need great defenses to win. You don't even need mediocre defenses to win. Right now, it's the sports is cyclical, and the Patriots have a juggernaut of an offense here. They're going to be a tough team to beat. Their defense just has to play okay.
Right.
But not to – go ahead, Brian.
No. I agree. Like, the defense – has to keep doing what it's been doing, which is just make some stops in the red zone and turnovers.
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to. Teams are going to get yards. We know what this defense has been giving up as far as yards and just teams throwing the ball down the field. They get the key turnovers. Mm-hmm. They put the ball back in the offense's hands. It's pretty simple.
Robert, thanks for the call. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Robert. What else?
Okay. Now you guys, I'm sure, see more than I do because I live in Indiana and I'm a huge Patriots fan. I catch games that come on CBS.
Yeah.
But now, when teams beat New England, say as far as the Jets, the Giants, Pittsburgh, is it really because all you really hear is the media saying all they got to do is man the receivers up, jam them, and get to Brady with four guys, and that'll be it to beat the Patriots?
It's much easier said than done. And there's no great defenses out there. I don't know of any defense out there. Pittsburgh in one game this year, 9 weeks ago, they stopped the Patriots somewhere. The Patriots were only on the field for 19 minutes of that game, which is never going to happen again. That will not be the case. So for that one particular day, Pittsburgh found a way. The Giant game was more, Brady throwing a couple of bad interceptions, and then remember, the Patriots had the lead against the Giants at the end of that game. Sergio Brown picks up a horrible interference, which was a right call, just a bad play on his part. The Giants don't pick up all those yards. They don't win that game. So, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, nobody can shut down the Patriot offense. I haven't seen it yet, except for that Pittsburgh team, back in week eight. And, even games where they have so-called struggled and got off to slow starts. I mean, right now, they're putting up 36 points a game.
Right,
and I know it's not against the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, but the Ravens. You look at look at the Steelers. You really think the Patriots play the Steelers or Baltimore here that they would have a problem putting up 30? I don't, and I don't think Pittsburgh can put up 30 here, and I don't think Baltimore can. I just don't. Not on the road.
Now and then I was watching the game last weekend, and Brady coming from under center. He don't look that comfortable, and offense is almost predictable.
What?
From under center.
Offense looked predictable.
Yeah, like it seemed like every time we're under center, we usually hand the ball off in a single offense. We don't really.
They rushed the ball for 142 yards as a team last week. Not to mention Brady was on stage.
No one predicted the fourth and one play that they had. That was the Aaron Hernandez.
The Aaron Hernandez play. That was a great play by Brady. He made an unbelievable read. But Robert, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move on to Brandon, and he's got a fantasy question, right? Kev? Brandon, California, have a fantasy question, or just you don't know? Want to take a break? Oh, we got to take a break.
We got a couple of weeks before we let Bilo.
Go ahead.
Well, here I got one right here. This one is from Harry. Hi, Pete and Bilo. I have five of my six teams in the playoff finals this week. That's unbelievable that you have six teams in general, but five in the playoffs. Hope you can help me with the following questions. Start at QB, Aaron Rodgers at the Bears or Cam Newton at the Buccaneers? Well, that's pretty close because Newton, I think, is going to have a huge game, but
I
wouldn't sit Rodgers. I think Rodgers is going to have a four or five touchdown game. I really do.
He's got to be livid. And even though the Bears have a really good D, but their offense stinks they're going to put the Green Bay Packers in great field position.
And then start at wide receiver. Please put in order, he said, Julio Jones against the Saints, Laurent Robinson against the Eagles, Torrey Smith against the Browns, Miles Austin against the Eagles, or Jeremy Maclin against the Cowboys. I would go Austin 1.
I agree.
Jones, Maclin 2, 3 in some
Absolutely.
Order. I'm going to go Jones 2, Maclin 3. I'm going to go Torrey Smith 4.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go Laurent Robinson 5. I'm not feeling Laurent Robinson this week.
Totally agree
Torrey
with
Smith,
you.
because of Bolden, he gets a little bit of a boost. But I think Austin, Jones, Macklin are your first three for sure right
no
there.
No question.
And I think one last email here. This is a why not end it on a kicker note.
Sure,
hey,
not?
Guys, Janikowski or Akers?
That'd be our first kicker question all year.
Yeah, I know. I don't deal much in kickers. I always feel like kickers, you know, it's just such a crapshoot. It's hard to go against Janikowski, but it's in Kansas City. That could be a tough place for that whole offense to play. Akers, San Fran having a good year. I go Akers.
All right.
Bilo,
you're the man.
Well, you're the man.
I know we're a little late today and everything, but
no, that's okay. We're going to go to call.
Hey, we got a fantasy question before we let you go. Brandon in California joins us on the Ace Ticket Hotline with Bilo and Pete Shepard. Hey, Brandon.
Yo, what's up, Pete?
Hey, what's up?
Well, my question is, I have an all-Patriot fantasy football team, and I'm going to the championship, too, just to let you know.
Of course you will. You should be. They have one of the best offenses in the league, so I don't doubt that.
Yeah, but I have been Green Ellis and Woodhead, but I'm debating on who should I start because Woodhead seems like he's getting more touches as of right now.
Yeah.
But when we're on goal line, Green Ellis gets
tough.
Like the first.
You're right.
It was Woodhead or
Woodhead or the law firm.
Woodhead or the law firm. I still think you go with the law firm. I mean, Woodhead, that was his first. That was his first touchdown.
First rush,
last week.
Yeah.
I don't think you. I mean, there's something to be said for momentum, and I think he's had two straight good weeks. But even when Green Ellis has struggled and hasn't gotten a ton of carries, he still gets touchdown opportunities. So I think there's a much higher percentage chance that Green Ellis scores than Woodhead. And even though the yardage might not always be there, if touchdowns are what it's all about.
Yeah, and do you guys know if Deion Branch is going to be able to play today? Because I still have him.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I would guess that he will. It's all a matter of who your options are. I mean, I wouldn't rely on him. I think he could have a decent game, but it's hard to say. I bet he plays, has a decent game, but it really is. It depends on who else you have.
Well, I have Ocho. So.
Oh, well, you got to go Branch over Ocho.
Well, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, That's tough.
If you find out an hour and a half before the game that Branch is not playing, then I think you could go with Ocho and hope he gets the second straight week with TD.
Ocho's on a roll, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ocho's on a roll, one for one.
Yeah, right. So there you have it.
That was it. Thanks.
All right, Brandon. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right, now we can let B-Lo go. Right. Again, awesome job again. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, Pete.
Thank you very much.
And we will do it again next week, the final edition of the Fantasy Lowdown.
Wow.
17 of them.
Man, gotta get the champagne out for that.
Yeah, we do.
Unbelievable. Well, great stuff.
All right,
thanks, Pete. We'll talk to B-Lo next week. When we come back, right back to the emails. You email me, webradio@patriot.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. No guests coming up in the second hour. Just you guys, your phone calls, your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And again, Facebook me as well. And I got a very interesting article I'm going to read, that I think you'll be, fascinated with if you're a Patriots fan. It's from a national writer, so it's not that somebody with, different perspective, but interesting words. So we'll get to all that break and then come back with the second hour of the Pete Shepard Show. I'll have my picks, of course, which I dominated last week at 10-5-1, and my super lock with the Philadelphia Eagles winning again and getting it done. So all that coming up on the second hour of the Pete Shepard Show right here on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Ooh,
yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Everybody.
baby. Oh, what a Merry Christmas it's going to be. And Happy Hanukkah and Happy Holidays, everybody. And Happy Kwanzaa, all that stuff. But what a great day. Hopefully it will be on Sunday when the Jets lose and Cincinnati wins. Oh, my God. Rex Ryan. Ooh, get ready to suck on some toes, baby. Oh, God. I think the Jets are in serious trouble this weekend. I really do. We'll get to my picks. I'm going to do them a little earlier this week as well. And then we got some Patriots locker room sound I'm going to play for you coming up in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the end of the show. So that's it. So I'm going to do my picks in about 10 minutes. So get ready about 10 minutes earlier than normal. Anyway. An interesting, again, email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Of course, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And we do it all live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Again, webradio@patriots.com is how you email me as well. And, you know, the Tebow stuff is still ongoing. You can still see a sense even now how devastating the national media is because he didn't win. And it is just, you know. And now they're showing this week the mic'd up stuff that the NFL Network showed 2 weeks ago after the Bears game. So now you get to hear him sing all over again. This time ESPN has. They're playing all. It's just, it's what a waste of time to show it all over again after the NFL Network had it 2 weeks ago, and now ESPN's showing it this week. But there's just so much so much hype around this guy, and I really think Denver's going to struggle this week. I really do. I think the weather, I think traveling across the country, and I completely disagree with my friend from the Palm Beach Post yesterday, Ben Volen, who I know is close to Tim and maybe not being completely objective about it, but I think Tebow is going to struggle this week in Buffalo. I really do. The weather, traveling across country, and I'm really interested to see the character of this team, the Bronco team, when things don't go well. So they've suffered their first loss in a while. Let's see how they handle it. All right, this is an article by Elliot Harrison from CBS Sportsline.com, and I'm just going to read to you the whole thing because I think it's fascinating. And I didn't expect this from a national writer. He's an NFL analyst, Elliot Harrison. So, here it is. Under the radar is not exactly the phrase one thinks of when the names Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are tossed around, yet the Patriots could very well win the Super Bowl with nary a vote of confidence from league observers and fans. Has any team that's 11-3 and currently a top seed, not to mention a team that's won three Super Bowls in the past decade, ever gone so unnoticed? It's unbelievable. Well, until you watch New England's defense. The league's 32nd ranked until unit doesn't exactly solicit confidence as it allows offenses to score more than David Duchovny. The outlook for the friendly defense got worse with a season-ending leg injury to Andre Carter and his 10 sacks. Who cares? When a club scores 30-plus points like it's nothing, the need for a stout defense becomes awfully diminished. It also applies incredible pressure on opposing quarterbacks to keep up an inevitable track meet where more often than not they can't. See Tim Tebow, Rex Grossman, Mark Sanchez, Tony Romo, Philip Rivers, Dan Orlovsky, and Vince Young. The Patriots are on a roll that would normally rile up the masses, but it has barely resulted in a smolder across the pro football landscape. Take a look at these point totals over the past 6 weeks. 41, 34, 31, 38, 34, and 37. The 41 spot was put up on the Broncos team that allowed an average of 17 points over its previous six games. The week before, Brady destroyed a Redskins defense that only gave the red-hot Eli Manning 10 points worth of love last weekend. I feel like I wrote this. It goes on. It's easy to say that defense wins championships when it's been proven time and time again. Look no further than the supercharged Packers, whose offense got all the pub last year, while their stout defense may have been the real reason behind the Lombardi Trophy. Dom Capers' unit allowed 15 points per game, second in the NFL. Now, the way Brady and his weapons are playing, it will be difficult for any team, including the Steelers and Ravens, to stop the Patriots. Yes, Pittsburgh slowed down the Pats at Heinz Field earlier this season, but Brady has been on fire since, with the Steelers' offense has been spotty with shoddy offensive line play and Ben Roethlisberger's high ankle sprain. The Pittsburgh defense might be forced to stay on the field quite a bit more in mid-January. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Steelers and Ravens had their butts handed to them in Week 15, while New England just rolled along. halting a Denver winning streak at 6, despite the Broncos getting up 16-7 at home, no less. New England calmly put an offensive clinic en route to a 41-23 victory. Call it Brady Mania or just call it another Patriots Sunday. That's precisely how fans seem to view it. Ho-hum. That is until New England potentially gets to the Super Bowl, which can easily happen. Pittsburgh has a wounded quarterback and just got physically dominated at Candlestick. The Ravens' franchise quarterback is completing 57.3% of his passes, 25th in the league. Houston is missing its best defensive player, Mario Williams, best offensive player, Andre Johnson, and its own franchise quarterback, Matt Schaub. Best of all, those points may all be moot because of the points they are put up at such a rapid rate by Bill Belichick's club. The offense has been literally unstoppable. Forget Brady for a moment. Wes Welker will likely have a 1,600-yard year and has already had more than 100 catches. Rob Gronkowski has already set a record for receiving touchdowns by a tight end of 15. He also has one rushing. And Aaron Hernandez, 68 catches, would lead 29 other teams in receptions by a tight end. They got to utilize that guy more, said Mike Lombardi, my NFL Network colleague. We were watching highlights of Pat's Broncos in the green room on the NFL West, shaking our heads at the sheer dismantling of what had been a solid defense as of late in Denver. Defense wins championships, but an unstoppable offense can overcome bad defense on some occasions. The 2011 postseason tournament in the AFC might very well be that time. Additionally, I'd say that leading the NFL in red zone trips, yards per play within the red zone, yards per play inside the 30, fewest drop passes while scoring 31.2 points per game constitutes an attack that is unstoppable. That scoring figure leads the AFC, as do the Patriots, total passing yards per game, overall yards per game, big pass plays, which includes 20 plus yards, first downs made, and on and on. This is not to say that playing defense doesn't matter. The loss of Carter and Belichick's 3-4 certainly hurts. But as long as the offense produces the way it has, opposing quarterbacks stepping into onto Gillette Stadium field will carry tremendous anxiety. Imagine knowing that if you don't score 35 points, probably on the road in a playoff game, your team will likely lose. So before you anoint Baltimore or Pittsburgh as the best teams in the AFC or flat out give the Lombardi Trophy to the Packers, keep in mind that someone has to stop New England. Offensive wins championships too. I'm going to give him a round of applause. Elliot Harrison. Of course, the people who counter that will say, well, if the Patriots don't score 30, they won't win. Okay, and there's some validity to that because of the two games that happened in the regular season this year where they didn't score 30 and lost against Pittsburgh and against the Giants. And they also didn't score 30 against Dallas and won. But I think a very, very interesting article by a national writer, Elliot Harrison, on CBS Sportsline. So I thought that was quite interesting. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Big Al in Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Pete Shepard, what's happening,
babe? Hey, my friend, how are you?
Have a great, hope you're having a terrific holiday, Pete.
I am. I'm all done. Actually, I got some last minute shopping to do tomorrow, and then to take 2 seconds. I did a great thing this year. I refused to go to any big mall. So I gave all the little stores a lot of business. So that's to pat myself on the back.
You're too kind.
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Very good. Listen, I in the holiday spirit,
yes.
I would just like to share with you. I know that you know all, see all, and all that other, but just for the benefit of the listeners.
Sure.
This is what's going to happen in the postseason.
Okay.
Right? I've already figured this out.
All right. I'm glad. I'm going to write this down.
Please, and watch the spelling.
Yes.
Here's the deal. The New England Patriots are going to win these last two games, which means they will have two at home, break two more at home,
mm-hmm.
which sets up very nicely. I don't know that it's ever set up this nice, where we play two at home, break two at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody have to look it up.
Yep.
But I can't recall it being set up this nicely
mm-hmm.
going into the Super Bowl in terms of not having to travel and stuff like
yep.
that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win these two games.
Okay.
We're going to have the number one overall seed.
Sounds good.
Now, the AFC North is a bit of a sticky wicket,
mm-hmm.
but I see the Ravens with one more loss on the road, and I think it's going to be at Cincinnati that last week.
Very possible. Very possible. They stink on the road.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't care who plays quarterback, they got a couple of cupcakes, they're going to win them both. So they're going to be the number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
The number three seed is going to be wrapped up tonight by Houston, who will defeat Indianapolis. Now, the number four seed is kind of wide open out west, but this is where I have to respectfully disagree with you, Pete.
Okay.
I believe that Denver, coming off a loss on the road, you know, we all rally together, they're all against us and all this. they're going to win this game in Buffalo.
I mean, they might. I'm wondering because I don't think Tebow has not been in this situation yet. He has not been in the situation. I mean, they got humiliated in Detroit, and they came back and won six in a row. But this is different now. They weren't anywhere near in playoff contention back then. Now, you know, almost a month and a half later, they are. And I am wondering, and I would feel better if I'd seen him play in cold weather before, but he never has.
Well, I think you make valid points, Pete, but certainly you know as much as anybody, it's not so much about you, but it's also the opponent.
Yes.
And, you know, I would be more inclined to think Buffalo would have a better chance if they hadn't had all these guys hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost Roscoe Parrish. They've lost the running back Jackson. They've lost Johnson. They've lost everybody.
Yep.
They just don't have anybody left. And so they're going to lose. If they had a couple of these guys, I might think differently.
Okay.
But they're going to lose. So then it comes down to the KC-Denver game the last week.
Mm-hmm.
If that game was at KC, I would agree with you again that they'll look at the Chiefs. But it's at Denver. I think Denver's going to win that. So I see Denver taking those last two games. They would be the number four seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe at home that they will pick off Baltimore, who will be the number five seed. Baltimore is just terrible on the road this year. And Joe Flacco is very bad on the road. And so I think Denver will come to New England, assuming the seeds hold. You'll have Denver in New England for the first playoff game. You'll have the number three seed, Houston, be playing at Pittsburgh, and then you'll have Pittsburgh at New England for the AFC Championship game. And I think we beat them.
Well, wait, hang on a second.
So, we might lose to them on the road like we did earlier in the year, but I think we're going to beat the Steelers for the AFC Championship.
You never gave, but there's another team that you left out, and I'm leaving them out too because I don't think they're going to make it. But who's the sixth seed? Who's Houston going to play in the first round?
It's going to be either Cincinnati or the Jets. I think it'll be Cincinnati,
and I think they'll
lose to Houston. Whoever
it
is will lose to Houston.
Really? You think Yates can win a playoff game? And at quarterback,
I think they're to me. It's another one of these deals where it's. I know we've been going through all the fantasy stats and everything else, but you know, there's some teams that are winning games with replacement quarterbacks.
Oh, I know
they've got good defenses.
And Houston has, and even
Houston's got a good defense.
They do.
And I'll tell you what, if they had Mario Williams,
I know
they'd be a threat to beat a lot of people.
I agree.
But I think they're just going to win that one game and be done.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough task for a guy like Yates to come in and win a game like. But well, you know, hey, stranger things have happened. But
well,
just the Jets,
the
fact that Jets can miss the playoffs, and I think they will. It just it's just an added bonus Christmas present for me.
I think they will. I think you're right. I think they will come down to Cincinnati and the Jets. I guess it's one of these really obscure tiebreakers, like right now.
Yep.
But I see the Jets losing to the Giants, and then that's it for the Jets.
I mean, Tennessee's still in it too, but I think they're in some trouble.
They're on life support.
They are, yeah. But they hold a tiebreaker. They hold a tiebreaker in one scenario. I forget what it is. I don't forget. It's right here. Hang on. They hold. Let's see. Where is it? Tennessee finishes ahead of Oakland right now based on common games, 3-1 to the Raiders, 3-2.
Yeah,
But
I don't think we're even going to get.
But
there.
Let me ask you this though: what I do think could be a very fascinating wild card week game.
Okay,
possibly is the Steelers going to Denver? That's a possibility.
That is a possibility.
Which that would be the case right now. I mean, that could, like you say, that could change depending on if Charlie Batch really throws up a couple of stinkers here, or if Roethlisberger doesn't play, whatever.
Well, but I just think that those last two opponents are just so bad that again, maybe if the game was at Cleveland.
Yeah.
You could make the argument, but they've got Cleveland at home, and I think they're at the Rams. I mean,
you're right. I mean, they should win those games. But if Baltimore also, if things stay the same, it could very well be Pittsburgh at Denver in that
that could be.
How do you feel about that one?
Well, that would make it more likely that Pittsburgh would come to New England sooner. I would give Pittsburgh a better chance in that game at Denver, frankly, than the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of it depends on the health of Roethlisberger and everything else.
Yeah.
And, if maybe with these cupcake opponents, they really should play Charlie Batch just to rest up.
Well, I would. I mean, like I said, I think it seems almost the desperation for them that they want to finish, get that bye week so badly because they don't want to have to play the Patriots here. There's no reason why Roethlisberger was in that game the other night.
I got to respectfully disagree. I hear what you're saying. A lot of other people said that. But they had that tiebreaker over the Patriots, and they thought if they won that game, They had the last two games were cupcakes. If they could end up, they could force a tie with the Pats, and then they would have the number one overall seed.
I'll grant you that. However, when they were out of it in the fourth quarter, he should have been gone.
Oh, absolutely.
That he stayed the last seven or eight minutes of the game. He should not have been out there.
No,
he was getting pummeled. He was getting pummeled.
He could not protect himself at all. And he was a sitting duck back there. And if somebody really wanted to cheap shot or helmet to helmet or, you know, one of these things that they fine people for nowadays, I mean, if somebody really wanted to tee him up and nail him, they could have done it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they were from the other conference that they don't really care about when do they play the Steelers once every blue moon. Mm-hmm. You know, if it had been somebody else, the Jets or somebody, you know, maybe Ben's, you know, running for his life.
Yep.
but he shouldn't have been playing late in that game. There's no doubt about it. That game was in the bag. Really, with about 10 minutes to go. But anyway, I hope you got all that down, Pete.
I do.
You have a great show.
You too.
Again, watch the spelling.
I shall.
Those spelling mistakes.
I shall.
Please.
I think a fascinating game this week again will be, and it's a 1 o'clock game too. It's the same time as the Patriots, but the Denver Buffalo game.
Yeah.
I think either way, it's going to be a close game. I don't think either team cakewalks over the other. I'm interested in the psyche of the Denver Broncos. I think that's going to be very interesting, especially early on in that game to see how they handle it.
I think it feels like one of these 9-6 things, you know. And could go either way, but, you know, I still like that Denver defense. Whatever you think about Tebow, they got great special teams, and they got great they got good defense.
But you got to be careful. They had good defenses against horrible quarterbacks, and the teams that played that had any kind of offense, Green Bay smoked them, and that was before Tebow. Detroit smoked them by 35, and the Patriots smoked them. And all those other teams that they played in between had no quarterback, or had quarterbacks like Sanchez who threw pick sixes left and right. And the one team that Minnesota has, you know, done nothing against anybody, put up 32 on them and 26 on offense and six on defense. But I mean, so I don't know. I think this Bronco team is a fraud team. I think they're completely fraudulent, and I think any decent team they play, they will lose. Now,
well, let me put it to you this way: going into this week, rightly or wrongly, I know I was one of the worry warts that really worried about Miller and Duberville, Rush and Brady, and so maybe I was believing the hype or whatever. But a little extra Christmas eggnog to our two offensive tackles, Solder.
No question. Well, Matt Light's having a great year.
They both played tremendous. If they play this way the rest of the year, then we can beat anybody.
But you know what they have been. They've stopped. Look, think about the defensive linemen they've come up against. I mean, between Kansas City, Washington, the Giants, Freeney, Matt Light and that offensive line on the whole have done a remarkable job. And people almost were talking about earlier this year about Light not even being on the team. He's having an all-pro year, one of his best years ever.
He's having a career year.
Yep.
And I love the Cannon kid.
That's a great story. I said it this week a couple of times. The most underrated player in the game was him, especially with Solder coming in and playing tight end and not being able to go back and play offensive line because of the substitution rule. Once you declare as an eligible receiver, you have to stay in for at least two plays before you come out. You can't just go from tight end back to offensive line. And that made Waters come in, played 19 snaps. He was terrific.
All right.
He was terrific. So
I missed that part of that.
Yeah.
That is pretty terrific.
It was.
It is. I like this offensive line. It's something that never gets talked about really, but you know, particularly this year with all the stats and everything, they really get overlooked. And you're absolutely right. We've been running up against these bookend defensive ends week after week after week, Tom Ba'ali and on and on and on. And they've been really doing a really good job of keeping Tom from getting he's going to get hit sometimes, but they've been keeping him out of the hospital.
And they're doing all this without Copen at center, which is a huge. I mean, Conley got hurt. Wendell has done a great job. McDonald, when he's been in there, has done a real good job. I mean, that position is, you know, you saw what happened to the Jets earlier this year when they lost their center. They couldn't do anything.
Right.
And that was only for a game. And the Patriots have been out the starting center for most of the year. So I think that those guys have done a remarkable job filling in.
Do you think Jeff Saturday comes in next year for a cup of coffee, victory lap or whatever, or do you think that's kind of a fan thing?
I don't think so. I mean, anything's possible, but I mean, I'm sure Copen's going to be back next year. He's one of the best centers in the game. So, I think it'll be him as long as he's, you know, healthy.
Well, we might get a couple of those guys off the Colts. We'll just see. I guess they got a lot of free agents.
Oh,
anyways, have a great holiday,
you too.
Pete. Thanks again.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Big Al. Let's keep it here on the Ace Ticket Hotline before I get to the picks. Quickly, let's go to Dagmar in Miami. Hello.
What's up, Pete? Hey,
what's up, man? How you doing? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas,
all that stuff.
Man. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to actually call and say a Merry Christmas to all the Patriots fans that listen to the podcast, listen to your show.
Thank you.
To the DFW guys and to the playbook.
Sure. Well, we all appreciate it.
So I want to wish you all the very best this Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate.
Sure.
And I want to give you thanks for a wonderful show, man. You really keep it up during the season. You're doing a wonderful job. I really enjoy the show.
Well, thanks a lot.
Even whatever post you put on Facebook, I always enjoy. So,
well,
I just want to cheer it up, man.
Yep. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And thank you for participating as much as you have. You're a great caller, great listener, and great friend here on Patriots.com.
Sure, and I want to, again, thank you for showing some love to my Miami boys yesterday on the show.
So, oh, well, when I was, before Miami, before the Hurricanes were good, back in the 70s, I always liked them. When Schellenbach, what's his name?
That.
I mean, and still to me, one of the greatest football games ever, was Miami beating Nebraska in the Orange Bowl in that game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
but,
talk about it on there.
But like I said, I've always, regardless of what people want to think about the University of Miami, even during their heyday and all the swagger and all the crap that they used to do and all that stuff, I was a big fan of theirs, but you can always say this. They would play anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere.
It didn't
matter on the road, at home. If people wanted to schedule them, they go. And most of the time, they won. They lost a couple of games, you know, against really good teams.
Sure.
But
like
they won.
Else, but...
They played anybody, anywhere, anytime. And now you get all these teams, well, I don't want to play this conference. I don't want to go there. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to play on a blue field. And I want to go, you know, west of the Mason, west of the Mississippi, that kind of stuff. You know, if Boise State was as good back in the 80s as they are now, Miami would have played them in Boise State. That's what they always did that stuff.
Sure, man.
So.
Hey, anyways, I'm going to let you go to finish up the program. Like I said, Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate out there. And
all right.
See you guys next week.
Dagmar, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. A great call from one of our listeners in Florida. All right, Kev, we ready? Time for my picks, baby. Get ready. Oh, what a week it was last week. 10-5-1. Crushing the numbers. And my meat miraculous monster pick won easily with the Eagles. So here we go. Everybody. First game, don't forget, it's tonight. Fantasy football players, tonight. It's Indianapolis at home hosting the Houston Texans. What a game this could be. Houston's never won in Indianapolis. Of course, they never had a play there without Peyton Manning as quarterback. But you know what? I think this game is going to be fairly close. I really do. I think Indianapolis +7. I'm going to take them. Indianapolis +7. They get the call for me tonight. Moving on. The Chiefs are at home. A big game in the AFC West against the Raiders. Chiefs with Kyle Orton. Seemed to be at least an under Romeo Crennel. Did a great job. They beat the Packers last week, and they beat them good. 19-14. And they really could have... They really should have won that game by a lot more. They were first and goal like four times inside the five and had to settle for field goals. I'm taking the Chiefs in this one. I think they're on a roll. Chiefs -2.5 for Kyle Orton. They get it done over the Raiders. Next game is going to be, I think, an interesting one as well. One of the more interesting ones of the day. But a lot of people around here won't watch it because it's on the same time as the Patriots-Miami. Denver is -3 at Buffalo. How will Tim Tebow respond? And how will the Denver Broncos respond? Playing in the cold weather, traveling across the country, the psyche of the team. How are they going to react after getting pummeled by the Patriots? I say badly. Buffalo, +3. They get the call. They're going to win the game outright. Take them on the money line, too. With all due respect to my pal Ben Volin of the Palm Beach Post, I do not believe in Tebow as a quarterback that will be a successful quarterback when guys like Haney and Sanchez aren't throwing pick sixes. Not that Buffalo's been anything great the last couple of months. They haven't. But I don't believe Denver is going to be able to recover going cross-country and winning this game. Buffalo, +3. They went outright. Tennessee is home. -7.5 over Jacksonville. You got to go with the Titans here. They are playing for their playoff lives. I know they have quarterback issues, but I got to go with Tennessee -7.5 in this game. Next, we got Cincinnati. They're at home, minus four against Arizona. The Bungles also in a big spot here. They need to win. If they win, they leapfrog over the Jets for that number six seed, and I think they will. I like Cincinnati here, minus four over Arizona to get it done. Carl's been playing good football the last month, but tough spot for them this week. Baltimore is home, getting 12.5 against Cleveland. God, I mean, the Ravens have issues, but at home against this weak offense of the Cleveland Browns, I gotta lay the 12.5 here and take Baltimore. I know Baltimore has some offensive issues, but they're at home. This game was on the road. I might think differently right now. Look for a lot of running plays in this one, as they did a few weeks ago when they played. Baltimore gets the job done, minus 12.5. The Washington Redskins are home against the Minnesota Vikings. Redskins minus 6.5. I don't know. Something strikes me. Something's funny about this game. I don't like it. I'm taking the Vikings plus the 6.5. I think Washington wins, but I don't know. It's like screams backdoor cover for me all over it. I like the Vikings in this one, plus 6.5. Carolina is home, minus 7.5 against Tampa Bay. Carolina is playing very well for the most part the last few weeks. Tampa Bay is playing horrible. Carolina in a blowout, minus 7.5 over Tampa Bay. They won't stop Cam Newton at all. St. Louis is at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is laying 14. Tough call here. Tough call. I don't trust Roethlisberger playing, which means Charlie Batch is in, which means they can let any team hang around, which means I'm taking the Rams plus the 14. I'll take the Rams plus the 14. Pittsburgh should win, but that's a lot of points, and if you don't know what Ben Roethlisberger is going to do in this game. Another interesting game, Detroit is home against San Diego. Lions minus 2.5. Not a great line for the Lions. I'm taking San Diego. Another team I think is on a roll here. I think they win the game outright. San Diego stays alive in the AFC West hunt, and they beat Detroit. They plus 2.5. I'll take the Chargers. Another interesting game. San Francisco is at Seattle. Will Marshawn Lynch finally break that rush defense of the 49ers? They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown all year. But they're going to on Sunday because Lynch is going to get not one, but two. That's what I say. Lynch and the Seahawks beat San Francisco. I'm going to take them outright, too. How about that? At the very least, I'm taking Seattle at home plus a 2.5. The Eagles are on the road at Dallas. Dallas is minus 1.5. I think this game screams upset. Romo, December, horrible. Translation, Eagles minus 1.5 at Dallas. Oh, a Cowboys fan's going to throw themselves off some kind of a bridge after the game or whatever they do down there when they lose, and they lose a lot in December under Romo. Look for another one today on Sunday. Philadelphia, minus 1.5. And then the one game on Christmas Day, 8:30 at night, Green Bay is minus 13 at Chicago. Tough place to, it's at Green Bay. Chicago's got no offense. They got a real good defense, but they have no offense. Green Bay is going to be upset. Green Bay in a blowout in this one. Minus 13, lay the 13. Green Bay wins easily. Monday Night Football is New Orleans, minus 6.5 against the Falcons. Tough one here once again. This is usually a pretty close game. Too many points for me. I'll take the Falcons, minus 6.5 to get the job done. This game was a pick about 5 weeks ago in Atlanta, and the Falcons should have won if it wasn't for Mike Smith's stupidity coaching in that game in overtime, leading up to overtime, led to the Saints in overtime, winning in overtime. 6.5, too many points. I'll take Atlanta there, plus 6.5. Matt Ryan and company, get it done. Patriots are home against Miami. Patriots are minus 9.5. That line's just about right. This is one of those tough games. Could have backdoor cover written all over it. But I'm going to take the Patriots in this one. 34, Miami 21. Patriots 34, Miami 21. Too much ammo for the Dolphins to handle. Patriots will come out of this one with a nice couple of touchdown win. And finally, now it's time for my monster meat miraculous pick of the week.
And now it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
It's a tale of the two suck-ass quarterbacks who have really sucked over the last few weeks, okay? And they have sucked. It's a question of, I'm deeming this the suck bowl. Who will
sucky.
Who will suck worse, Eli or Sanchez? I say Sanchez sucks worse this week, which is why I am taking the New York football Giants at home. Technically, it's a Jets home game. The Giants plus +3. Another one I'm going to give you. Win the game outright. Don't like anything the Jets do. I don't like their coach. I don't like the fact that they opened their mouths again and gave bulletin board material to the Giants. I'll take Coughlin over Rex Ryan in this one. Somehow, some way, Eli regains whatever it is he lost, like, you know, the last few weeks. His interceptions will be down. I don't think Revis is having a particularly good year. I agree with some of the assessment there. And I have no faith in Sanchez at all. Absolutely no faith. I mean, he's just gone downhill. He's not a good quarterback. Not that Eli is a mediocre quarterback at best, who's had a decent year for him this year. People say it's a very good year. He's had a decent year, had some nice fourth quarters, but he hasn't put it together consistently enough as usual. He's up and down, but he finds it in the suck bowl out in Jersey, in that stinky swamp of the Meadowlands. I will take the New York football Giants over the New York Jets in that one, plus +3. Well, there you have it. I want to thank my producer, Kevin Collins, once again for doing a great job. I want to wish him and the entire Patriots.com staff and everybody here at Patriot Nation a very happy and safe and healthy Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday, whichever it is you celebrate. I wish you nothing but good health and great times with your family and friends. And we will do this all again next Tuesday when we come back from the holiday break and hopefully be talking about a Patriots win against Miami, them solidifying their position as the number one seed in the AFC. We'll look ahead to Buffalo. We'll recap all the games that happened. And it's a great, great week for fantasy football players and great week for football fans in general because of all the great games. And you know, 14 out of the 16 have very good have meeting, and especially in the AFC, which all of us follow around here. Great games this week. So enjoy it. Enjoy your Christmas.
Give you a little Christmas carol on the way out, Pete.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. I didn't get to my Christmas cartoon thing, but I will go with Year Without a Santa Claus by far as my favorite Christmas cartoon of all time. That's the one with Heat Miser and Snow Miser. Little Andy Williams to get you through the rest of the show. And then we got some, maybe some Patriots. Oh, maybe not. I thought we're going to have some Patriots sound for the locker room, but we'll just wrap it up. Anyway, that's it. I will talk to you guys next Tuesday at 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. Take it away, Andy.
It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season. Marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Pete Shepherd, Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com radio.